blessed good morning. Please be comfortable. My St. Sebastian family and family, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We patiently wait for the promise of the coming of our Lord. As many of you know, our 41st president, 41st? Okay. Man, just heard me. Was a devout Christian. And more than all, he was an Episcopalian. So we get the pleasure to show our respect and our love for him. And on this Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, as it talks about the coming of our Lord, as I listen to the tributes and the conversations over the last 24 hours to 48 hours, there was one statement that was left that he said, any definition of a successful life is service to others and not to oneself. And our gospel this morning brings it so clearly. But there was something else I heard from our 41st president himself. He said his mother said to him, if you're going to make it to heaven, you're not going to make it to heaven on what you have achieved or what you have, but your service to other people. And our 41st president was what I call the ultimate person of love and cared about oneself. You all hear of family. It was always about family. And becoming the president then, we became that extension of his family because he cared, protected us. Whenever he had to put us in harm's way, it tore at his heart. Although he was a veteran, he understood what war was about. So we must look at his life and remember today as we come to the season of Advent. And also we call it Christmas, the season of giving. Let us, for his life and his a tribute to him, think about others. How do we make someone's life a lot better than we are today? When I prepared my sermon, our 41st president was still alive. And as I always said, my sermon continues to evolve until I get into the pulpit. But it was important as we are thinking about Jesus' second coming, I always make the statement that Jesus is always coming, and he comes to us in different ways. I remember a Sunday morning in our church in Brooklyn, a homeless man dressed in his ragged clothes came and sat in the back of the church. And we wonderful Episcopalians, we looked at him like I think we also, they had looked at the Good Samaritan story. We weren't sure why he was there. We didn't know if he was in the right place. But as Christians, we know he would be in the right place because he was in the house of the Lord. But he didn't look like us. And that's the biggest fear, that we as Christians must not fall into that trap, to expect Jesus to look in a specific way. And I am not saying that morning was he Jesus, but he might have been the heart and the love of Jesus. Because that morning he was looking for salvation. And he came to a place where solace is always found. And solace is always found in our church. Or we believe it is found in our church. What I say to you this morning is, Jesus today, for the Bush family, is the comforter in chief. And I wrote these before he passed, but there's some awesome words in our Episcopal prayer book that tells you about the Comforter in Chief. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. These are times when we are in dark places of solace and we look for answers. This is when Jesus is our comforter. In times when we are hurting from a loss of family, we are reminded in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son as our Redeemer. And we all as human beings will transgress. We will fall, but we know it tells us that Jesus is our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the perfect offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. My brothers and sisters, these are mere examples of the experience of Jesus Christ's love for us. The great joy of Jesus' love is not exclusive to any one individual or any group. Whether you're brown, black, blue, white, his love is in abundance. I always remember this wonderful song that I say sometimes, and many of you may know it. And the song goes, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything in God in prayer. This is the Jesus we serve. This is the Jesus who came on earth for us. And not for us only, but for the entire world. In our gospel today, we see him coming out of a cloud with power and great glory. We just lit the candle for promise, which represents Jesus coming into our lives. In the parable of the fig tree, where we see the seasons are changing, and boy, this week did we see the season change. I thought I was in New York, and my wife had already packed up everything that might have kept me warm. So the only thing that kept me warm would have been my wife. But I praise God and I thank God for her. We are now here preparing for his glorious birth. Our kingdom is near, but it's in our testimony that each of one of us, where are we personally, spiritually, and emotionally with Christ? Can we do the image process where you look into the mirror and see yourselves and says, God, am I being the best Christian I possibly can? And maybe ever good, but more is expected of us. Because we are where we fall in our personal relationship with Christ. Where is your personal relationship with Christ, I ask you this morning? We validate ourselves by his teaching and his examples. That's where we live. That's where we saw our president, our 41st. And so many people could not speak so wrong of one person. The best comment I have is to show the love between a husband and wife. At his 85th birthday, when he jumped out of the airplane, the young army sergeant who had clipped him on and he was coming out of the airplane with him, his wife went up to him and whispered in his ear, if anything happens to my husband, I will kill you. And yes, she meant it lovingly, but from a heart standpoint, it tells you how much she cared about her husband and what family meant. And you today and this month will celebrate with your family. And if you don't have a family, yes, you do, because you are here, and that's why I say we at St. Sebastian are one family. I got to visit our Salvation Army, the bell ringing on Was it Wednesday or Tuesday?
Thursday.
It's been just a long week. But it was such a pleasure to see the love and the joy of the members of our church. Ringing that bell, from the time I pulled into the parking lot, I could hear the bell, ka-clang, ka-clang, ka-clang. But it was a bell of love, telling you that we are doing service to God. I want to share a story with you. So as you do your good deeds for the season, you remember the story. A man went up to heaven, and he wasn't sure whether he wanted to be in heaven or he wanted to be in hell. So Peter says, I will give you a foretaste of what it may look like. And I might have said this story already, but it makes a point, so I will say it again. They go to hell, and there's a long table, and it's filled with food, drinks, and everything. And there's one big long spoon. And everybody has the long spoon there sitting at the table. But because the space is so tight, they're holding the spoon and trying to feed themselves, and they just can't get it happen. And they're all frustrated. So in hell, there is all frustration. They go up to heaven. There's the same table, the same amount of food, the same amount of people, but this time, the person on this side is using the same spoon to feed the person on the other side, and the person on the other side is feeding the other person. My brothers, I say that to tell you, the world is not about us alone. It is about our service to others. You will hear sometime later in the next couple of weeks, our brother Pete will give you a call. And he will say, he will tell you the church is not doing as good as we should be for the 2019 pledge cards. The priest does not talk money in the pulpit, so that's the end of that. But as the season of Lent, we look for change. We look for change in how we see ourselves, how we want to be remembered in this world as a person of love and not about oneself. The natural disasters, all the crime, all the poverty, it is all part of God's world, but it does not have to exist forever. These are signs that tells you to come, the kingdom of God is near, but I intend to take the position that whether the kingdom of God is near, we should not try to live good now, hoping that if it does come, that we are ready. We should be living good all the time, so we do not have to worry when it comes today, tomorrow, in our life, or in our children or grandchildren's life. We will all be ready, and by being ready, we are good examples for ourselves, our parents, and all those who come after us, because being good stewards are not about oneself, but being about our brother and sister. Yes, Advent is a time of waiting with patience. And with patience is often difficult. But it also gives us hope and reassurance and signs to the one who is coming. The one who is coming gives us power to always say yes to Jesus. The one who is coming gives us power to always say yes to Jesus. My brothers and sisters, let Advent be a renewal of our spirit. And remember, any definition of a successful life is service